This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. There is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility. I'm Gretchen Rubin, and this is A Little Happier. I often talk about my love of children's literature and young adult literature. I'm in three children's literature reading groups, and I read often from this section of the bookstore and library. I made a list of my 81 favorite works of children's literature, and of course, included on that list is the wonderful 1951 novel by Sydney Taylor, All of a Kind Family. This is the story of five sisters who live with their parents in the Lower East Side of New York City in the early 1900s. They're called All of a Kind because they're all sisters. The book is a wonderful portrait of Jewish immigrant life. The girls have all sorts of childhood adventures. They do household chores. They prepare for the holidays like Passover and Purim. Sarah loses a library book. The two youngest sisters go buy candy together. Now, one thing for me, as I read these books now, is that while I enjoy them just as much as I did as a child, of course I understand them differently. Because I bring more to them, I get more out of them. And as an adult, I'm much more aware of the economic circumstances of this family. When I read this book as a child, although I never really analyzed it, this family seemed secure and prosperous. Papa had his shop that they'd go visit. Mama had her parlor full of beautiful things that they had to keep dusted. They had delicious meals and lots of parties. They go to the beach at Far Rockaway. They have firecrackers on the 4th of July. But as an adult, I see that their lives were more difficult. They lived in the crowded tenement section of New York City. Their father ran a junk shop. They had a big family crowded into few rooms. Most of the novel is told from the perspective of the children, but every once in a while, the narrative shifts, and readers get a glimpse into what the parents were thinking and about their adult concerns. There's one passage that did not interest me much as a child, but really struck me when I recently reread the book for, I don't know, the 50th time. In the chapter, Papa's Birthday, the five sisters decide that for the first time, they would buy a present for their father's birthday. They save their allowance pennies so they had 35 cents to spend. They go to Mr. Pincus's bargain store, and after much debate, they choose a gift. The book reads, "It was the most wonderful cup and saucer they had ever seen. It was made of lustrous pink and white china, and on its front, raised gold lettering marched proudly uphill to spell out the name Father." And we know that this wonderful cup even has a narrow ledge across one side to keep a man's mustache from getting wet. The girls are thrilled with their choice. They cannot wait for their father to get home. He's tired when he gets home. He gives them a weary smile, washes up, and joins them at the table. And here's how the chapter continues. "Aren't you going to open it?" Henny asked. "Oh, yes, of course." Papa tugged at the cord, the wrapper fell away, and the cup and saucer stood in splendor on the table. Papa stared at his present and said not a word. The children were bewildered. What was wrong? What made Papa's face look so sorrowful? Didn't he like their present? Papa was thinking, So much money spent on a fancy cup and saucer that I could just as well do without. Haven't we enough cups and saucers in the house now? I have to work so hard to make enough for the necessary things, and here they spend money on such a luxury. What if the amount they spent wouldn't help much? It's little spendings like this that add up. But right through his thoughts, there floated a little disappointed whimper from Gertie, and Papa suddenly remembered his children. He looked down at their faces, so puzzled and sad now. They had been so gay a moment ago. They were young. It was bad enough they had to be denied so many things because he couldn't afford them. Must he deny them even this pleasure of giving up their small allowance for a present for him? Ella interrupted his thoughts. She spoke quietly. Perhaps we should have bought something more useful. Papa smiled his wide, gentle smile at his daughters. No, no, it's wonderful. I've been wanting just such a cup and saucer for years. How did you ever come to think of it? I couldn't tell you right off how happy it made me because I was speechless with delight. Mama, pour me a cup of coffee right now. I can't wait to use my beautiful present. One of our greatest luxuries and chief delights is the ability to give. And this father realized that even though their family had very little money, this was a luxury they could afford. I'll post a link to the book, All of a Kind Family, and also to my list of my 81 favorite works of children's literature in the show notes. I'm Gretchen Rubin, and I hope this makes your week a little happier.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.